Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
To another minisode right here on Patreon or wherever you're listening. What you got, boys? It's been a fun week for science because, you know, we're orbiting the moon right now, which is exciting.
I'll start. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. So as everyone probably saw, we now have Artemis 2 coming back from flying around the moon, seeing the dark side, all sorts of cool stuff. Apparently they saw some asteroid impacts, which is pretty cool.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Love everything about it. In fact, my favorite post online was they posted the photo of Earth. And I love the fact that photo Earth is upside down. See, just one goes to show you that there is no right side up in space. But more importantly, I loved all the comments that were like, what is that? What continent is that? And people were genuinely like, I don't know if they're trying to be conspiratorial. Like, is this it? But they were asking a question. And I was so pleased to see all the responses be like, oh, turn it upside down. That's Africa. You can see the Strait of Gibraltar. Like, people were really answering questions.
That's cool.
And at one point, someone was like, what's that green glow? And everyone's like, that's the Aurora Borealis. I love that. I genuinely
people
had a moment
science.
Of like,
yeah.
They always say what is like, what's the value in space exploration? It costs so much. And I'm like, there, right there. It makes us better humans. To know that we all, like, as a species, are leaving Earth.
And, bro, we learn some crazy shit when we do space research. Like, we learn, just by looking into shit, we learn, like, that's, like, how we've done most shit that we've made is by researching space.
There was another person was asking, like, well, how, if there's no gravity, how is that thing on the table just there? And someone was like, Velcro was invented by NASA. And I was like, yes, they weren't being like, shut the fuck up. People were like, let me explain it to you. And I was so pleased as like a teacher, just so pleased. But anyway, the thing I wanted to get to, which I thought was very funny, is that nowhere in my mind did I think this is where we're going to go with topics when it came to Artemis 2. But a lot of people online now, there's a thing in the Washington Post. There are a bunch of Substacks. The one in Washington Post, you can't even go look at it because it's like behind a like a paywall. But the Substack one is Adrian McAvey, who has roughly the same thoughts. But basically, what people are framing this as is that the Artemis program is going to be really consequential and influential because the major objective of all of this is, one, build a moon base, have a presence on the moon. Two, use that as a jumping point to get to Mars.
Yeah.
And so the way all these people are talking about it, and I thought this is very interesting, and I'll use Adrian's bit here, but basically, as an evolutionary biologist, there are ways of looking at stuff, and one of the ways is that the moon and Mars are just new islands in a sea of like stars, right?
Yeah.
And so when you look at islands on Earth, when different islands happen, like a great example is the Galapagos, on that island, there are 18 different species that survive there that are not anywhere else in the world. And so the implication is that as we start moving to other worlds, in this case, Mars or the moon or whatever, gravitational differences, societal differences, whatever the case may be, we're going to see three things. One, a new genetic shift, which deep space radiation, whatever, might alter DNA, and you would pass that down to the next generation. Two, the gravity gap. Like I said, your bones, people born on different planets will have different bones than people born on Earth.
Interesting.
And then, over centuries, all of this will lead to three, which is technically a new type of human. there will be different types of humans. And I saw someone post this and it was a joke, but I think it's completely accurate. It's the Warhamification of the universe. There will be people who look like ogres. There'll be people who look like dwarves. There'll be people who look like elves. There'll be people who look like normal ass
humans.
Change
to match our environment. Yeah.
Yeah. And so people will change based on where they live. So like if you're on a high gravity place, you're going to be like a little stocky bastard. And if you're like on a low gravity place, you're going to be like tall and
slender.
You're going
to be a long man. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of love that. But it also, many people I saw were doing the thing where it's like, well, if time is an illusion and we time travel, could aliens not be us as different versions from other planets in the future?
It could all
and I
be
was
us.
Like, oh, we're going there.
It or could all
why,
be us.
Why wouldn't it just be other creatures on other planets that evolved differently because sure. of it? It could just be that.
Sure, but that's just what they were saying in the articles that I was reading is they were like,
I think it's great.
Honestly, I love when people speculate positively about the future.
Me too.
Have we read The Egg on here?
No, but that's such a classic. Maybe we could one day.
Good.
Yeah. I was just watching a video from an astronomer talking about how, like, at the Big Bang, when everything went off, all of us would, because, you know, matter isn't created or destroyed, it just changes, whatever. Everything was entangled. And mm-hmm. as it just disperses, the entanglement gets weaker. But maybe, like what she was saying, maybe space-time doesn't exist as we understand it. It's just the measurement of our entanglement with everything around us. Like we're more entangled with things immediately in front of us than we are from far away. But if you are advanced enough where you can manipulate that kind of stuff, distance means nothing. The distance is literally meaningless. You can just fold space time.
If we're all still entangled, yes.
Yeah, we're absolutely. All still entangled in some way. The universe is one, right? That's where a lot of spirituality comes around to as well. Yeah.
It's
we're all one.
It's like
we're
that
all the
dude
same.
Who does a lot of videos or podcasts or whatever. We talked about when he was on DMT.
Yeah,
and he's like. He's like, this, the third dimension isn't even like when you're here, it isn't even real. You realize like we're once you see what's actually real. And I'm like, bro, I want to be that high. Dude, like, I want to be I've like, I'm just high. A flesh bag.
It's duh, crazy.
There's
dude.
More to me than this. It I am is, a luminous being.
That's just like, kind of true. That that's just kind of true. That's just like do like shrooms or like do like right. acid you once.
Can, like, and I haven't had like that kind of I've had some weird experiences, but I did have a moment in doing psychedelics where like I suddenly understood why time isn't a real thing. Like I suddenly understood that time isn't real. And I remember having this long thought. And then when I came back from that thought, literally no time had passed because I was measuring between, Jess was listening to a video and I was listening to them talk. And I just had this huge thought of like, time isn't real. I understand it now. I'm more sliding through existence in a linear way. And then when I came back from that thought, no time had passed. And I was like, oh, and I was like, in that moment, I was like, I understand time isn't real. But then once you're in back in like reality, it's hard
useful.
To like
it's
grasp.
Useful, but it's not real. It's useful, right. but it's not real. It yeah.
You see that girl in France this week?
The phrase, I'll let you go here in a second, but like the phrase at the end of anybody who does like psychedelics that I've really grasped onto is that no matter what you do, you still have to come back down and chop wood and carry water. You still have to live life. It doesn't matter what you realize. You are still in this finite existence. Make it mean something.
Even if you walk out of your life, you're still going to have to sell umbrellas somewhere else.
Exactly.
There was a girl in France. I don't know when this happened, but it's this week it popped off all over social media where she was like in a coma. And she woke up from the coma and told everyone that she thought she was awake.
Oh,
she
yes.
thought she was. She was like,
she where
apparently lived a whole life, had kids, was married, and she was like in shock when she was a young woman again in this hospital. And that's
weird.
Again, that's all the mind, but it's also
that's the inner light, dude. That's
time
what that is.
Pass,
right.
You know,
yeah, that's the Star Trek episode right there.
And I really wish it had more of an impact on the show as a whole after that episode, but it just never did.
That happens to him again in the fucking movie. Pretty much.
Oh, Picard. Yeah.
Pretty much happens to him again.
Oh
in the movie.
My God.
I love
that stuff though. Like it's so fascinating. Cause I space time. I just don't think it is what we think it is. And there's just so much science we don't know. And there's so much to like existence we don't know. And the fact that it's like, maybe we are all quantum entangled on a quantum information system. That is just permanently together. You know, esoteric spiritualism points all to like that similar idea. It's like we're all connected, we're all one. It doesn't matter if you're alive in a body or dispersed as atoms and energy. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. We're all the same thing. Fucking care for each other. Stop fucking destroying each other.
It actually isn't that hard to wrap your mind around it. It's just impossible to feel it.
Yes.
And so it's in similar to like Christianity in some ways. You are being asked to act on faith, if you think about it.
I mean, that's all religion really is. You have to.
But I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this. Like, even just this way of thinking, you're kind of acting on faith because time isn't real. You're just, you can't experience the notion that time isn't real because you can't experience consciousness without
time
perceiving it linearly. Right. But so you just have to, when somebody tells you something like, by the way, time isn't real. That's like saying it's the same as being like, there's a guy outside of this reality that like controls everything and makes decisions for you. You're like, okay.
Do
like,
I have to pay rent tomorrow?
Yeah. Like I'll do whatever I need to do. Like, you know,
it's like when we talk about the galaxies moving away towards something.
Yeah.
Okay. That awesome. But I can't do a damn thing about it. So like, thanks for the fact I'll be at work.
You know this one time, right? I was on mushrooms. It was a Del Taco. That's what it was headed towards. I mean,
everything was
the termination point of everything in my vision was a Del Taco on the horizon.
I'm going to let you know, 2 nights ago I was at Del Taco. They have Big Fat Tacos now.
They're back?
Big Fat Tacos have returned.
It's like 2011 again, guys. Yup. Oh, we love to see it.
One day all three of us will get together and we'll do some mushrooms together.
I want to point out for the record, when you order Big Fat Tacos at Del Taco, they give you a sheet of Pogs.
That's awesome. What?
Why?
Literally just to remind you of the good old days? It says we're back. And one of them is a Pog that says Big Fat Tacos. It's Pogs, dude. I was like, what is happening?
Dude, let's play Pogs. You guys got a slammer? You guys still got a slammer kicking around?
Oh, I don't think I do anymore.
I had a Mortal Kombat logo slammer. It was gold. It was great.
That's sick.
It was incredible.
I truly did live the Pog life.
I had tubes. I had binders. I had special slammer collections.
I took that shit.
Some that were shaped like a buzzsaw. Like it was really
cool. I love Pogs.
We played for Pinks, dude. We did it real.
Yes.
I got a UK ghost story for you.
Yeah, dude.
From our paranormal from a couple hours ago called Ghost on the Train from user Dead VHS, which is a sick name.
Love that name.
I'm a train driver in the UK. A few weeks before Christmas, I'm working the late shift. Everything is normal and boring, and I've got very few passengers on board. It was around 11 p.m. There's a particular route I drive on the train where the train terminates in the middle of the line, not at the end of the line as normal. This isn't a rare or uncommon route. In fact, I do this roughly once or twice per shift. The process we have is that staff who work on the station will walk the length of the train to make sure all the passengers have left. I then drive the empty train onto a small piece of track, a siding, that's basically like a train parking spot. I make my way through the inside of the train to the other end where I can drive it back to where I came from. These trains have a driving cab at both ends. On the night in question, all of this happens as it usually does. The staff checks the train, gives me the thumbs up, and I drive the empty train into the siding, which again is that parking spot. I open my driving cab door, ready to walk the length of the train and change ends. And as I open the door, I see a woman is still on board. This happens occasionally. Someone rushes on at the last minute or the staff didn't see them. It's no big deal. We have to call it in and it usually means we get to drive back again ahead of schedule. A slightly early finish and it's a bonus. This woman was a middle-aged, presumably Muslim woman wearing a niqab, the headscarf veil with the part that covers the mouth. She waves at me through the window of the door leading to the second carriage and does a kind of shrug that suggests she was saying, "I fucked up, sorry." I wave back to her to let her know I've seen her, and I turn around to collect my bag and stuff. Throwing the bag over my shoulder, I leave the cab and enter the train proper. The woman was in the second carriage. I couldn't see her through the window as I walked through the first one, but assumed she had just taken a seat. The windows are fairly small, and you wouldn't necessarily be able to see someone if they weren't standing. As I said, this sort of thing happens. People are used to it. Her sitting down and waiting for me wouldn't be an unusual thing. I opened the door leading to the second carriage, expecting to see her sitting there, but she wasn't. She wasn't there. I walked the rest of the train. She wasn't on board. She wasn't on the train. It was as if she didn't exist at all. I've seen some weird things driving trains before, as have many train drivers, but this one sort of got me more than the others because of the interaction we'd had. The final drive back was an unnerving one, and somebody had followed up and asked him a question about, like, are you 100% sure you saw everywhere? And he was like, literally, and you'll probably recognize this, Jesse, like, this is the exact train model that I drive. It's like made.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
It's made so that you can't really hide.
Yeah.
And he,
typical,
you know,
London. Yeah, kinda, like,
it's got the big, like,
train.
Elliptical cutouts. Like the poles are there, but like the wall dividers are like cut out elliptically. So you can really see like almost the whole circle.
Hide.
Yeah. All the way down the train, unless you are like a little kid crouching. And if somebody walks past, there's just no way. You can't get under the seats. Nothing. So pretty crazy story. And, you know, just a fun little ghost story for you, like a little Luigi's Mansion, Resident Evil Zero. I don't know, mix up, mash up.
Did you hear they're remaking Code Veronica right now?
Is it true?
I heard it was. Oh, I mean, I don't know if it's confirmed by Capcom or if it's just a leak.
Yeah, I look.
Oh no,
I love that game. I love that game so much because I had a Dreamcast and I had a PS2. And I played on both.
You're out of control.
I'm ready to play it again. Right. I love Code Veronica.
Let's get me
that whole island. It's like Shutter Island, Resident Evil. It's great.
With a little science story to Exodus. Did we talk about the antimatter?
Did you say Exodus?
Exit us on some science, like exit the.
I was like, okay,
be more
specific. Right.
Then did we talk about the antimatter?
That CERN moved antimatter on a truck for the first time.
I think I know something about this because I saw an article that was like, why don't we just store antimatter? Like, it would cost $1 trillion to do it, so we don't.
Well, on March 24th, a group of scientists at CERN ended up putting in a box some antimatter and drove it on a flatbed and then drove it across their campus at 26 miles per hour. This is supposedly antimatter is like the most dangerous thing on Earth. And they're saying, like, everything you've ever touched, everything you've ever seen, like, microphone, body, all that shit, it's all made of, like, for every particle of matter and everything that there is also, like, I don't want to call it the opposite. This is where I don't want to get too sciencey because I don't know science.
I mean, we don't know what antimatter is.
Antimatter
has
some relation to matter.
Yeah.
It's like a mirror version of it. It's as far as my layman understanding.
It has a goatee. It's like meaner. It has a goatee. It can take your place. Yeah, I get it.
They say 1 gram of antimatter meeting 1 gram of matter would release about the same amount of energy as the Hiroshima nuclear bomb. Like, to give you an idea of, like, they're just mirror. It basically,
that's actually weirdly
antimatter,
like,
annihilates the instant matter. It touches regular matter.
Honestly, there's something about that that's like, oh, I thought that was going to be like a worse effect. Is that weird? I feel like Doc Brown's like, if you touch yourself, well, like, it's not total annihilation, right? It's like Hiroshima, 1 gram.
Well, here's the thing. We don't know what that would look like.
Like a cascading annihilation that destroys everything.
Because when you think of a nuke going off, there's the explosion and the radiation effect, the whole thing. With this, it could just be like 1 minute there's stuff there, and the next there's just a hole in the ground and everything's gone. Like, we just don't know what that would look like.
Yeah. I just mean like, from movies and stuff, I thought that, like, if antimatter and matter touched, it would, like, wipe out, like, all of
existence.
Like a black hole would form and suck the earth in.
Yeah, like, just something crazy that would happen. But obviously, that's not nothing. But I'm just saying, I thought it would be worse.
Here's the specifics of it. So, on March 24th, they trapped a cloud of 92 antiprotons in a portable cryogenic penning trap, disconnected it from the experimental facility, loaded it onto a flatbread.
They trapped a cloud on a flatbread, dude.
Flatbed and onto a truck and drove it across CERN's main site and then resumed their operations after transport. The bottle traveled more than 8 kilometers around the lab, reaching a maximum speed of 42 kilometers per hour, and staff turned out with their phones to film it, so like they got it all. If protons touch normal matter for even a fraction of a second, they annihilate and release energy. To prevent that, the antiprotons were suspended inside a roughly 1 meter cube, quote, transportable antiproton trap, which just sounds like a Ghostbusters device.
It's almost exactly the name of a Ghostbusters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Using magnets cooled to minus 269 degrees Celsius, which translates to negative 452 degrees Fahrenheit.
But if those magnets got wet, would they still work?
I don't know. Ask the president.
We should.
They held it. They then held it in a vacuum and never touched the inner walls, which are obviously inconveniently made of fucking matter. So
matter, right? Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing weighed over 1,873 pounds, and the cloud of antiprotons was cooled to about a total of minus 428 Fahrenheit, which allowed them to stabilize for the ride. So they did it. The reason they did it, it's basically because CERN's antimatter factory is the only place in the world where antiprotons can be produced, stored, and studied. But the accelerators that make them also generate electromagnetic fluctuations that blur precision measurements. Moving the antimatter to quieter environments could boost experimental accuracy by 100 to 1,000 times. So they're just getting it away from the shit that can interrupt with its study.
Do you also think this is kind of like a last hurrah for a while? I feel like maybe. They're like, F it. Because they're shutting everything down for retrofitting. And the Large Hadron Collider is shutting down until 2030.
And here's maybe your answer.
Stuff.
Here's maybe your answer.
What are the right-wingers going to complain about now?
I know, right? No more alternate universes.
CERN, stop jumping our timeline, CERN.
The ultimate goal is to ship antiprotons to other European labs, starting with Heinrich Heine University in Dusseldorf for very high precision measurements of antiproton properties.
In Dusseldorf? I got to say this right now. If Dusseldorf, if you kill us all, I'm be real upset with you. Because I only have Dusseldorf. I loves yous. You're cool. I don't want the world to end because of Dusseldorf.
Yeah, that'd be unfortunate. Don't end everything.
And if it did, it'd be hilarious. The aliens would get a kick out of that shit.
You love it so much that you don't want the world to end because of it?
Yeah. Like, I like Dusseldorf, but I don't want to die because of Dusseldorf.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
know
what
I mean? Me neither. To be honest, I don't know as shit about Dusseldorf, and I don't want to die because of Dusseldorf.
That's it. I just thought it was interesting. They moved some protons, antiprotons, for the first time and didn't cause total annihilation. So that's good. And they're going to go get studied.
I think it's great that if you go right now and look up, because I wanted to go get specifics on the CERN shutting down, every article is like, it's not permanent. Don't freak out, which I think is incredibly interesting that a lot of people are like, why is it shutting down? Is something broken? Are we all going to die?
Oh my God.
This has been planned for years. We are already past the life of what we thought it was going to be. We're shutting down and then making it better for 2030. Yeah. Chill out.
It just got to get some work done.
We're going to jump timelines even faster than we were before.
I can't wait. Yeah. Maybe we'll find a good one.
Yeah, maybe we. Hopefully it's not just a continuous cascade downward in alternate timelines.
And hopefully we don't find the right one, but go home and there's a squeaky gate. And we're like, oh, man, that's not our home because it's a squeaky gate. Or no, wait, it's not a squeaky gate. And it was a squeaky gate. That's right. It was always a squeaky gate. But it turns out when we leave, it actually got finally fixed.
It's actually
and, we
totally
were in the right timeline
gate.
The entire time, but we screwed up. Yeah.
Exactly. Also, and the only thing Dusseldorf will do to me is give me some good Sauerbraten from time to time.
Absolutely. Go watch the show Sliders if you want to get that reference.
Sliders is, if you watch this show, you got to watch Sliders at least for a little bit.
Yeah. Except for the episode where they get trapped in the Statue of Liberty in a world filled with water. No thanks.
Jesse's biggest nightmare in the world.
No, they really hyped up like there's something in the water. No thanks.
We got to do an underwater mystery just to creep Jesse out.
Let's not, though.
Yeah. We got tons.
There's infinite. There are a ton out there.
What if we don't?
What if we don't? All right, boys. Thank you so much.
What was that sound? Is a good underwater mystery. What was that sound? That's a good one.
What? The blue?
What is that thing over there? That's another one. I'm sorry, guys.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I stepped on the outro, and it's like, now we're stuck here forever. Now we're going to be in the
finish
the
bit until we understand what you're talking about.
This is our penance. Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with the brand new minisode here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We appreciate your support, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.